This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
American country music leapt from the front porches of Appalachia to the living rooms of the world back in 1927. This is when the Victor Talking Machine Company's producer, Ralph Peer, came to Bristol, Tennessee in the summer of 27 to record regional Appalachian balladeers, gospel singers, and blues artists, performers like Jimmy Rogers and the Carter Family. Peer's 1927 Bristol sessions also introduced the royalty system to the music industry. I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me in downtown Bristol for a visit with Charlene Baker, communications specialist at the Birthplace of Country Music Museum. I've been here before. I was here when you guys were building this museum headquarters. And I go back out west and go around the country and I tell people about Bristol and the birthplace of country music. And you know the question, which is, why there?
Right? Why there?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we are the site of the legendary 1927 Bristol Sessions recordings. And as you know, those recordings were responsible for bringing country music to the mainstream. They were the first recordings of the Carter Family and Jimmy Rogers, but they were also significant due to the technology used. You know, they weren't singing into a horn.
That was a real game changer from an audio recording technologically, huge game changer.
Yeah, and so, you know, there were country music recordings happening at that time. Ralph Peer was such an amazing marketer and businessman. You know, Ralph is also responsible for the royalty system that artists now enjoy today. He's the one who thought that whole idea up, and it was all around the Bristol Sessions and the work he was doing at that time. What? Even though there was, you know, the Nashville scene was definitely happening before with WSM Radio and the Grand Ole Opry, it was really the 1927 Bristol Sessions that brought it to the forefront.
But he went around to other places throughout Appalachia and whatnot and did other recordings as well, right?
Yeah, there were recordings, you know, in other places, but, you know, ours were so significant due to, you know, the amount of talent that was on the records. You know, many of those songs are so timeless and, you know, you still hear them sung in gospel choirs today, you know, and some of those, and definitely, you know, Pop Stoneman. He came here at the urging of Pop because Pop said, a lot of these country people can't get up to New York and can't get down to Atlanta. Right, so you got to, you know, get on the train and you got to bring it to them.
But even so, even though he came to Bristol, he still had to put a call out throughout Appalachia and throughout the coastal region for people to come here to record, right? It wasn't that they all lived in Bristol.
No, they didn't. And, you know, he did put an ad in the paper, but, you know, Pop was very responsible in cultivating a lot of that music. He called up his buddies and sent people over. So that amount of talent, you know, and we say it all the time, you know, those Bristol Sessions probably wouldn't have happened. You know, Peer had been recording with Stoneman for a while before and had some success with him. And it was really, you know, his urging that he came to Bristol. So we're really grateful for that history and that he did that for us. But, you know, the technology was so secretive that there aren't even drawings of the equipment that he used. And they say, you know, he brought a portable recording device to the old Taylor Hat Christian Hat Company, that warehouse. But we don't even have a replica of that because it was such a trade secret.
Right.
And, you know, so it was that microphone that developed at the time and everyone, you know, singing in this dark little room. And one of the great things about the Birthplace of Country Music Museum here, you know, we're a Smithsonian affiliate and we tell that story and how we have some oral histories recorded that you can listen to. It's very interactive, you know, music mixing stations, things of that nature. And we take you from, you know, the past, but also how the 1927 Bristol Sessions, the trajectory of that and how it's impacting music and artists of today.
And so the Carter Family Sessions, they came here to do that recording?
They're in Hilton's, Virginia, which is if you drive it today, probably less than 30 minutes away. It's a beautiful drive down Gate City Highway from Bristol. That's the way I always go because it's a little woodsy drive. But I think it took them a couple of days to get here because they had a flat tire at some point. You know, the roads weren't very good, and some people came in on the train, but they came in from like all over the place. And Jimmy Rogers came over from North Carolina, I believe, to record. And even then, you know, if you listen to the original session, you can hear it.
Single girl, she's going dressed fine. Oh, she's going dressed fine. Very good.
You can hear why the Carter family are still so influential. You can hear the star quality, and Pier was amazing at recognizing those things and really promoting that. You know, Alfred Carnes, you know, his big booming voice, you know, Pier loved him. But you know, and we send people from the museum over to the Carter family fold in Hilton's. They still perform music there every Saturday night and dance. It's a big time.
And how many people come to that every Saturday night?
Oh, it's hundreds easily. You know, it's an affordable event, you know, and, you know, Rita Forrester, who is AP's granddaughter, she runs it, and she runs it just the way he wanted her to. So we're really glad that that's close by so that we can tell people, you know, if you're going to come and you're going to travel to hear about the history of American music in Bristol, you have to go to the Carter Fold. It's a requirement, I think.
Tell us about some of the other highlights here at the museum. You said it's very interactive.
It is. Well, you know, the museum has been open since August of 2015. We had our grand opening, and, you know, we had wanted a museum celebrating the sessions for many years. I'm glad it didn't happen before now, because the technology is here to do a lot of interactive things. You know, we have music mixing stations, like I mentioned before, touchscreen displays where you can actually listen, read lyrics to the 27 sessions. We have beautiful film experiences. There's four of those. One of my favorites is the Immersion Theater. And it's a huge semicircular sort of screen. And you see all of these different artists from all these different walks of life and genres of music singing Will the Circle Be Unbroken? And hear them talking about the influence of the sessions. So when you step in, you know, you kind of start at a train depot. And these doors open, and it takes you into our first film, the Born in Bristol film, where you get the whole history of it. But by the time you get through the museum and you get to the Immersion Theater, it shows you how far it's come and how it's still influencing and impacting music of today.
I saw you on TV the other night.
Being a cheerleader for the festival.
Yeah. You were talking about the festival at the middle, latter part of September, and that happens every year.
It does. And, you know, we're entering our 18th anniversary, Bristol Rhythm and Roots Reunion. It's in historic downtown Bristol along several blocks of State Street. We closed downtown, so you have that beautiful backdrop. It's not like you're in a big field somewhere in a tent. You know, it's a really beautiful experience. 140 bands plus this year, I believe. 20 stages, indoor and outdoor. All of our restaurants downstairs, downtown are music venues. We have the beautiful Paramount Theater that's, you know, been restored. And so we have a little bit of history and atmosphere in every stage that you step into. And so you're not just experiencing, you know, the past and traditional bluegrass or old-time music. You're seeing how, you know, alternative country bands are taking that sound and that Appalachian music heritage and what they're doing with it. You know, it's evolved so much. Mm-hmm. So it's a real plethora of genres, from blues to rock to, you know, even a little pop here and there. You know, we have a little roots in all of it, but a very wide range and diverse audience. And it's always the third weekend of September.
Okay.
A beautiful weekend. It's 3 days.
Okay.
And this year it's the 21st through the 23rd, but it's usually always that third full weekend of September.
And I bet all the motels sell out.
Generally, and luckily we're getting a couple of new hotels downtown. There's one right beside the museum that'll be open next month, right after the festival, but we look forward to having them. And then there's another project that should be open by 2019, so, you know, you're within walking distance. But we're very blessed. We have about 45,000 people who enjoy the festival each year. It's just big enough, I guess. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just
but
a
with
really...
20 different stages, you... dilute.
Yeah, it's about, you know, eight different blocks, mm-hmm. you know, that you kind of walk in. You need to wear good shoes.
Not really.
But you can dance in two states because State Street, you know, is split down the middle by the state line.
So you could be standing in Virginia
and in
Tennessee. I love it.
You
have the yellow stripe right down the middle of Main Street.
We do, and there's little plaques. If you go and look down at your feet, we have a lot of traffic stops that people will stop and let you take pictures of your feet on either side of the line, and then, you know, the big Bristol sign at the end of the block. So it's a really special little place.
And I seem to remember years ago coming through town, and there was a burger place that I went to, and that was the last place where anybody saw Hank Williams alive. Is that correct?
Famous burger bar where Hank Sr. may or may not have had his last meal. It's one of those legends that I think has gotten changed a lot, but I believe that they did stop there, but I believe he had already passed, and he was in the car. But burger bar is still open for business.
He was out front in the car dead then.
That's what I think. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to, you know, I don't know.
Nonetheless, he liked going to the burgers.
Apparently. Yeah. So, you know, but the burger bar has been changed hands a few times. It closed for a while. But
it looks pretty much the same.
It does. Yeah. They've expanded into the building next door. Mm-hmm. You know, the owners are just amazing. And, you know, the food is great. But I'll give you a secret. The burgers are really good. They're named after, like, all the Hank songs. Like, there's the Your Cheatin' Heart burger and stuff. But the Reuben's my favorite.
All right. Well, that's one of my next stops, so I'll definitely order that.
Yeah.
Before we go, definition of rhythm and roots.
Well, you know, Bristol Rhythm and Roots Reunion is all of those things. You know, we're in Bristol, and, you know, you've got the, you know, the roots of the Appalachian heritage of, you know, that's the heart of what they do at the festival when we book music. But it is, in every sense of the word, it's a reunion. Families, high school reunions, so many people just meet. I see people at the festival every year that I haven't seen all year, or, you know, in years.
Reunion, yeah.
People travel from all over the world to come and be part of that. It's a really special time and a great weekend of music. And I love that it's with that backdrop of historic downtown. And our downtown in the past 15 years, I'd say, as the festival has grown, as Bristol Rhythm and Roots Reunion has grown, so has the reinvestment in our historic downtown. So 98% of the breweries, the galleries, the antique stores, the little boutiques, the shops, you know, there's an ice cream shop. There's all kinds of little places downtown, and they're locally owned. And I think that is amazing.
Yeah.
And we have new places coming in. And then we have, you know, a place like Elsie King, our 100-year-old denim factory that's been around in the same family for four generations. They're kind of the unofficial outfitter of bluegrass bands and festival bands because they come in and they buy their stuff and they wear them on stage, and you see them out in those clothes all the time. And, you know, so we have like a real connection to our community that, you know, you can't get that in a strip mall. And the mall culture of the 1980s had literally devastated our downtown for 20 years through the 80s and 90s. There was nothing there save a few antique stores. It was really the revitalization project of the old Paramount Theater
that was the anchor then.
A bit. And then, you know, they restored the train station. But then it was, you know, Bristol Rhythm and Roots Reunion and getting people downtown. It was all sort of a perfect storm, and you would not believe the change in the last 15 years. It's really incredible.
Well, even last time I was here, It was a hard hat tour before you opened.
Yeah.
And I sense a change in Bristol even since then, since 2015.
Yeah, well, a downtown is a city's identity anywhere USA. And if you don't have a real authentic history, I think we're very fortunate that we do. And of course, we have Bristol Motor Speedway, which is fantastic. You know, but that event is twice a year. So we really needed to embrace this history, and we wanted people from our community to know how important our music history was, and for our children to know, because we've been growing musicians here forever. You know, my dad was a musician. I grew up around musicians, and it's just such a way of life here. But, you know, that's one of the things that we were missing. And I think it's created a sense of community pride that wasn't here before. You know, we have a lot of educational programs, summer camps for kids at the museum. It's just, it's infectious, and I think it really does make for a better community when you can pull from those resources, and it brings everybody together.
Dovetail back for a moment, the Paramount Theater and the redo. Does it still do movies, or is it all live?
You know, they do theater, they do performances. You know, Bristol Ballet, which is our 70-year-old ballet theater here, ballet school, they have their productions there.
But and do they still have movies?
Every now and then, but we do. Push Film Festival is a relatively new film festival. They are a stage there, as are we in our performance theater here at the museum. So, yeah, occasionally they do some revivals here and there. So you can see just about anything there. Their calendar is pretty full. I think they renovated in the late 90s, where it sat vacant for many, many years. And it took a lot of hard work, but it's really a jewel of our downtown. It's gorgeous.
Thanks for sharing. Before we go, for further information.
Well, you know, if you want to know more about Bristol, Tennessee, Virginia, and the birthplace of country music, our organization, Bristol Rhythm and Roots Reunion, the Birthplace of Country Music Museum, and Radio Bristol, just go to birthplaceofcountrymusic.org, and you can listen to our radio station through that website. You can find out everything, tickets, our events. If you give us a call, we'll tell you all about where to go in Bristol, because we love to push people out into our downtown. We're very proud of it.
In your radio station on the web, that's live feed 24/7.
It
you can
is.
Dial in.
Yeah, listenradiobristol.org. Mm-hmm. We have a mobile app. You can listen from anywhere in the world. Our Facebook Live, you know, we have live programming. Our Farm and Fun Time show, which is a revival of the old WCYB Farm and Fun Time. People like Curly King and the Stanley Brothers got their start on radio shows like that back in the day. It's just a fun little variety show with, like, live music, a little comedy. They even write their own jingles. Bill and the Bells, our house band, they are great. And then a little storytelling in there, too. We do a heirloom recipe segment where someone from the community will share a story around their Southern food culture. So it's all, it's a very heartwarming little show, at times very funny, and definitely great music. So that's once a month. So watch the Radio Bristol's Facebook Live. They do, you know, all kinds of sessions throughout the month. So it's really another little outlet for us to get our story out and tell people about what we do here. My name is Charlene Baker with the Birthplace of Country Music.
Charlene, thanks for sharing. What a wonderful day.
Thank you so much for coming and being here. It's really special to us that anyone, you know, from the West Coast, you know, will travel from California to come to Bristol, Tennessee, a place that most people haven't heard of. But, you know, the word's getting out.
I love it. Well, I'm glad I'm here. I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Bristol, Tennessee. We'll see you here.
I'm in Startle Bar, the only one.